I make no apology for the fact that I might keep saying it's great to be with you, and I'm really excited because I am. It is just wonderful to be here, and really exciting to be able to unpack the Palm Sunday account. I was thinking about this, kind of what comes to mind when we might think of Palm Sunday, and the first memory I have of Palm Sunday involved one of these. This is actually the Battle Observer from a couple of weeks ago, and obviously you need to take a pair of scissors. Having rolled up about three or four sheets, if you've not done it, you know, if you've not had a go at this already recently, you can go back later on. You take a few snips like this, maybe one more down there. Okay, and then you can just pull out the top your palm leaf. And you, depending how adventurous you are, depends how many bits of newspaper you put in there and how long it is. And I have this vivid memory of being in the school that the church that I grew up in, we met in, didn't have any kind of premises. And I can still remember sitting, it was on the left-hand side of this school hall with these palm branches, or made out of newspaper, waving them frantically, probably kind of not really engaging what was going on, but just more kind of seeing how fast I could wave this around or who I could hit it with and that sort of thing. But this image of a newspaper palm branch, for me, that's kind of certainly the first kind of image that I have when I think of today, of Palm Sunday. And it made me think, kind of, what do we take from an account such as this? What images maybe do you have in your mind? What things does this day say to you? And what impact does it have in your life and in my life as we go about it? Is it just a day that we gather and we wave some palm crosses or some newspaper palm branches and we sing certain songs and then we kind of pack it all up for another year? Or is it something that actually challenges us deep within to live a different way? We're continuing our series this morning, looking through John's account as we draw towards next Sunday and the events of Easter morning. And Palm Sunday is one of those accounts that's found in all four Gospels. You can look at it, Matthew 21, Mark 11, and Luke 19. And in many ways, in John's Gospel, which I'm going to read in a moment, it's actually quite a cut-down version that we get compared to the other Gospels. It's almost as if John gets straight to the point, gets straight to the heart of the matter. And I think, but just the same, it has that challenge within it as to what difference is this going to make? These visual images that maybe we know so well, maybe we've heard for many years. What impact will they have on our lives today and tomorrow as we live within the community that we find ourselves? Got a Bible out, I'd invite you to turn to John chapter 12. I'm going to read from verse 12 to 19. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." First, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." As I've been reading through those verses, I've been trying to think through kind of what would it have been like to have been there on that day. And I was trying to think what kind of parallel maybe could I relate to, maybe could you relate to it. And my mind turned to almost, it's as if, I think, if we were in somewhere like Leicester Square or Covent Garden in London. It's one of those places that kind of, you know, has, you know, lots going on. There's, you know, you take Leicester Square, you've got the restaurants, you've got the shops, you've got the different people selling different things. There we'd have the street performers, people trying to grab your attention with their latest act or what they can do. Again, there you've got your artists. Maybe you've had it done before, but you can't even willing to paint your face, your portrait, and capture your likeness. That kind of experience, there's those who are hurrying from one place to another, not really interested in what is going on in the surroundings. And yet there's others who maybe are just standing around, just soaking up the atmosphere, just seeing what's going to happen, what's going to take place. There'll be people, as I say, sitting, standing, walking. Maybe not in Jesus' time, but certainly in modern times, you might have those on kind of skateboards or rollerblades or, you know, other kind of random things that seem to be popular at the moment. You'd have the authorities, you know, the police maybe just keeping an eye that everyone's behaving themselves, everyone's doing what they should, no one's getting out of hand. And if you take that kind of experience and you make it a hot day, you then have that kind of haze and that hubbub that you can just, you can't almost explain, but if you've experienced it, that sense of just that moment. And it's this kind of atmosphere, this kind of moment that I think we see here as Jesus enters Jerusalem. I could picture lots of different things going on, lots of different people with different agendas going about their business, different things. They're doing this hustle, this bustle, this hive of activity. And this sense, I wonder, of many watching and waiting and wondering maybe what is actually happening or what is this all leading to? Where is this heading? If we look and just reflect on some of the individuals, some of the different characters within this scene. Initially, we have the crowd. It says the crowd had come for the festival, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna." We pick up later on, it talks about what Jesus has done in bringing Lazarus back to life. There's this reputation that precedes Jesus, and many are following him, are gathering because of what he's done, because of what they've heard, maybe because of what they've seen and experienced, and how their minds have just been blown by the miracles and the wonders that he has performed. And there's some of them maybe are recognizing it, that this is someone a bit special here. This is someone who's not just your run-of-the-mill kind of person to follow. He's got something a bit different about him. And so they wave their palm branches. And there's almost this kind of Kodak wow moment, I think you can see here, of the crowd just cheering as Jesus enters Jerusalem. You then kind of jump to the other side. And at the very end of the verses that I read, we pick up about the Pharisees. And John only actually gives one verse kind of referencing their take on it. You look in the other Gospels and there's different things that are said, but here John kind of just tucks them in at the end. In many ways, I mean, they wanted to get rid of Jesus. They wanted kind of, you know, he was causing them trouble. And we can see various comments and commentaries and various things, I say, throughout the Gospels about their interaction with Jesus, how they kind of followed his journey as well, seeing what was going on, and almost as if the whole thing was kind of unwinding before them. They weren't really sure how to respond and what to do. Was it that he was maybe competition to them? Was it the fact that he was showing them up and actually they were making them look bad? Was he just a bit of a troublemaker to them? Someone who was speaking out of turn and should really just learn to keep his mouth shut and know better. If you look at the preceding chapter in John, talks in verse 45 to 57, the plot to kill Jesus, as it's kind of given the headline in the NIV. It's almost this sense that they're looking out for their own skin. Because actually, if this guy, they're saying, if this Jesus keeps stirring stuff up, sooner or later, you know, the authorities might come down rather harshly into this area and kind of put a stop to it. And it's just going to cause us problems and cause us hassle. And actually, you know, we need to do something here. You've got the crowd in this moment. You've got the Pharisees. You then also got the disciples. And I think I've shared before, I'm drawn to the characters and the individuals of the disciples. I think they're such an interesting group They're such a motley bunch. They're kind of seemingly looking in the wrong direction and maybe doing the wrong thing and never quite getting it, as we see, until after the occasion. And again, here, we see that it's not until, you know, the events have unfolded of the coming week that they realize what is actually taking place here. What is actually going on? And then you could also look just more widely, I think, in terms of John's commentary on the situation. What John is actually saying as he writes this account down, writing after the event, we see he references the words of Zechariah 9:9. He talks about kind of, you know, of God's will being done. Verse 15, do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. And again, if you actually explore that chapter in Zechariah, it's not a triumphant kind of, yes, this is an amazing thing. We're going to kind of come through and crush everyone in our, you know, path and deal with them and wield swords around and all that sort of thing. But actually, I mean, a donkey is not, you know, it's not a transport of a world leader. It's not one of those animals you go kind of, yeah, that's like the Mercedes-Benz or whatever, you know, of transportation back in those days. And also, if looking and reading around, the understanding is that many pilgrims who would have gathered for the Passover would have been on foot. And certainly, and if they travelled by other means, come the end, they would have walked those last few miles again on foot. But yet Jesus is making a statement here. Because it's not that he's, you know, physically unfit, but that it's this reminder of who he is, of what he's come to do. And this triumphal entry is that statement for them to recognize. It's interesting, though, we talk about the idea of a triumphal entry. I mean, the songs we've sung this morning and other ones that you may relate to today and Palm Sunday are very, you know, that kind of triumphal, you know, victorious entering in to Jerusalem. But yet I think, again, it's one of those things that if you actually look at it from different perspectives, it can appear quite different. And in the world today, if I mentioned the American presidential election, I'm sure we'd have maybe even here, but you'd have lots of different opinions on kind of which side we'd vote for if we were voting and what we might think of different candidates and that sort of thing. Maybe slightly closer to home, if I said about the EU referendum, again, we could have a long, heated debate, I'm sure, because it's kind of, well, actually, I think this and I think that. More closer to home on Tuesday night with one of the church members, I went to see a football match over in Brighton. Classic example of two very different opposing views on what should be happening. You know, and the referee, yes, that was a brilliant decision there, first class, or no, you are a complete whatever else was being shouted at that point. You know, we have these moments, don't we? And I think the triumphal entry is one of those. Actually, yes, we say it's a triumphal entry, but actually, for some, it wasn't. The crowd, in that moment, they're waving their palm branches. You know, yes, it's this wonderful moment as Jesus enters and they're celebrating who he is. Hosanna, you know, the king is coming. But yet, I wonder with hindsight, to look back, maybe they'd have had slightly different views. Because for some, he didn't deliver what they were expecting. Many were expecting that he was going to come in with force, was going to rid them of the Romans, of the authorities over them, set them free, and he was going to do that kind of the good old way. But yet he didn't, as the events unfolded show us. What's more, looking back on it, I imagine some of the crowd were thinking, yeah, that was a great celebration as he entered Jerusalem. But a few days later, when he got himself killed, how does that help us? You know, they might have thought, well, this doesn't add up. He was meant to be so much, but seemingly he failed, they may think. Because as they saw him crucified, they probably thought that was the end. Whereas we know that as we're going to celebrate, particularly next Sunday, that was not the end. Because after 3 days, Jesus conquered death, came back to life. But look at the Pharisees. Again, I certainly don't think they saw it as a triumphal entry, because to them, it was he was just making a scene and getting noticed. Verse 19, it says, look how the whole world has gone after him. I wonder whether John is almost reflecting back on this situation. Maybe this sense of, because obviously at that point the whole world hadn't gone after him, but this phrase almost saying, everyone seems to be getting stirred up. Everyone seems to be getting caught up in what he's saying, in what he's doing, in who he is. And almost for them, it's this sense, we need to step in before it's too late, before things get out of hand. So certainly not a triumphal entry where they were concerned. And then we take the disciples. After all that had happened, to use John's words, when Jesus was glorified, imagine they would have looked back and go, whoa, that was something special, wasn't it? I didn't quite get that at the time. I didn't quite see what was going on. But yeah, that we were there as Jesus entered, as you know, kind of as it all kind of began to kick off. We were part of that, and he called me to follow. Wow! In the moment, though, there's this sense of, I think, kind of confusion, probably a bit of mild panic going on. What is he up to now? You know, he's done various things that have seemed a little out there. They've come through, but this is really going a bit too far, isn't it? Or what's going to take place? How is this going to unfold? And so again, I'm not quite sure how they would have termed it in terms of this entry. Was it triumphal? So maybe in hindsight it was to them. You see, I think the danger with a passage like this is we can read it and we can get excited. And we can go, woohoo, it's a triumphal entry, it's brilliant. But then we do just kind of turn the page and we move on. We forget that actually this triumphal entry, Jesus coming, is something that needs to make a difference and an impact every day of our lives. It's asking that question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to me? We gather at 10:45, all ages together. One of the games we're going to be doing with them is kind of who's who. You know, do they recognise certain famous characters from different cartoons and films? And obviously, because we want to unpack, say, who is Jesus? Who is he? Who was he back then? Who is he now? I wonder whether sometimes we need to just stop and ask ourselves that question. Who is Jesus to me? Have I almost got caught up in the hubbub and the excitement and the hustle and the bustle of all that's going on? And actually, it's kind of slipped in terms of the impact that he is making and the challenge that he sets before me to live a different way from everyone around me. And in many ways, either Jesus is or isn't our Lord and our Saviour and our friend. One of those questions we can, you know, there's in life, there's lots of grey areas about a lot of things. There's lots of things we might have different opinions on, and we can kind of say, well, I'll just sit on the fence with this one, really. This isn't one of those things. Because as Jesus came, as Jesus, here we read, entered Jerusalem, coming as the King of Kings, coming to offer every single one of us new life. And not just as a decision to go, yes, I'll sign up to that, and then I can just find a nice seat, which I'll sit in regularly because it's my spot, and then we'll just kind of carry on with things. But actually, to make a difference on Monday morning, when I'm at work, when I'm with my friends, when I'm walking around, when I'm seeing people, saying, yes, it's going to have an impact in terms of who I am and how I live. But again, we could just say it's all about kind of palm branches, isn't it? We could just have some nice images that we hold on to. Or we could say, no, we want it to be much more. Father God, I want to thank you for the words that we read from your Holy Scriptures. And we just pray that those words will be the things that will impact our hearts and our lives. And as we thought about the different ways people maybe responded on that day as you entered, Lord, Jerusalem, we pray, Lord, that you will challenge each of us as to think about how do we respond? What impact are you having in our lives? What difference are you making? And what steps are we willing to take to live for you wherever we find ourselves and wherever we go? In your name we ask it. Amen.